Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University.
This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with Remy Motti. It is great to be back with all new episodes. We have some also very exciting news coming.
Totally exciting.
So be sure to stay tuned. We will be releasing some very exciting announcements on our social media platforms
this
coming week. It's already September. September is here in what has been one of the strangest years of all of our lives. Which means, with September, that means football season is, well, college football season started. The NFL football season is going to kick off Thursday night.
Woohoo!
So you're about to become, as you are every fall and into early winter, a football widow, I call it.
Fun times.
Yes.
Exciting. Exciting stuff.
Very fun times, very busy times. So because football season is kicking off, of course, we're going to have a football guest. Former NFL player Freddie Scott II will be our guest on this episode. We're also going to talk to David Oliver, CEO of Oliver Heating and Cooling, which is one of our great sponsors. We're going to talk this week about encouragers.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Obviously, with everything going on in the world, more and more people need encouragement. And I think no matter what's happening, whether there's good things or bad things, whether we always need encouragement in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think encouragement comes in various ways. Sometimes people can encourage you and not know they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people, I believe God gifts people with mm-hmm. the gift of encouragement.
I think I have that gift.
Right. For example, and I'm going to point to a couple loyal listeners,
mm-hmm.
supporters of our show, Jennifer and Patrick Sullivan.
Oh my gosh.
Who
Absolutely.
Are the ultimate encouragers. They're consistently and constantly uplifting us and everyone with this show. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because you always need that. You know, we always go through, there's ups and downs in life. There's times where you're having good moments, you're having good days, and some days you're having bad days. So you never know where encouragement is going to come from. So I'm always grateful to them because they're constant.
Right? Yes.
They're constant and they're consistent with their support and with their encouragement and words of lifting people up, uplifting everyone. And as it says here in Ephesians 4:29, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. That is such a wonderful thing to think about. When you think about that, how do we use our words? Sometimes you can use your words in such hateful ways. You can use your words in angry, bitter ways. Mm-hmm. You can use your words in so many different ways to be negative or hurt people. And I think in this era of things are so quick, right, on text messages and social media and Twitter and this and that. Like, you can always have a remark to someone that is the opposite of encouraging.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I see these come in as I'm posting or I'm tweeting from a ball game or just some sports opinions or whatever. And I see these remarks coming in, and I think to myself, like, what is this person trying to accomplish with this other than to either put me down, put my opinion down, or put down the team or the manager or the player or the front office executive or whoever it may be? And I want, like, I know that's part of sports, but it's difficult sometimes
because
it's consistent.
Yeah.
You see that a lot.
It's true, and some people lack that wisdom. It's strange, but some people lack the wisdom of just not knowing what to say, and I personally call them splinters because they just, they feel like a splinter to me. like you don't, like it's annoying, but it's too small to like be significant, but they're still annoying, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I remind myself that you have to be an encourager at all times. So every time you're about to put a word out there in somebody's life or on social media or even your kids or your husband or wife or whatever, you have to see the encouraging side of it before you say it. Before yeah. before it comes out of your mouth, if it's not encouraging, you should probably refrain from saying it, because that's what I do. I try to say to myself, okay, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm hurt, but at the same time, I have to encourage that person. Like, even if I'm sad or if I'm down. Or
you're saying you do this all the time?
I try. I know I'm not perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect. I'm saying I like to encourage people. I like to encourage. So I don't encourage you. I thought I do.
yeah, but there are, and we all have the moments, right? We all have these moments where we're going to.
We all have our moments, but I'm saying, like, I try my best to be an encourager. I know there's people that God put in my life to encourage me, and you're one of them. And there's people in my life that don't encourage me, and I find that that's okay, that's fine. Maybe I'm the one that should be encouraging to them. I think we all play that role at some point. I mean, we all fail, and we all need a pick me up at some point. So you're here to support me, and I'm here to support you, but sometimes we kind of fail, and God send those encouragers to help us out and pick us up. Or you know what? Sometimes you'll be scrolling through like social media and you go, oh, this really lifted me up.
Yeah.
Oh, this really helped me.
It happens all the time where you'll see something and you'll go, wow, I really needed to hear that.
Yeah,
right? Wanted to,
that just happened.
And you never
like
know where
today,
it come
yeah.
you never know where it's going to come from. I'll give you an example also this week. Like I had a lot going on. I was really busy. And sometimes like I feel that you never know how many people you're reaching or how many people you're touching unless they tell you or unless people reach out to you. And you never know. It could be 2 people. It could be 1,000 people. It could be whatever it is. And then one day I came home it was a really busy day. Had a lot going on. Come home and you said, well, Greg, who is a wonderful guy who mm-hmm. worked with me as a producer for the Rob Motti Show last year, I actually met him through coming to one of the speaking engagements I had at a church a couple years ago. He came out a very strong believer, recent graduate from Rowan University, and he's so appreciative of everything and all the work that I've helped him with, and he just left me this like really heartfelt letter and a very cool coffee mug, and the coffee mug had one of my very favorite Bible verses on it, Mark 8:36. What good is it for man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And I looked at that, and I was so appreciative of his appreciation.
Right.
So I think sometimes you encourage people. You may not necessarily say something uplifting, but maybe you do something.
Yeah, the act of
to show
kindness.
Appreciation.
Yeah.
An act of kindness can be encouraging in so many ways. It kind of makes you feel like there's purpose to that particular day, that moment, the work you're doing, whatever it may be. So I want to encourage people who are listening to this show to encourage others, because we never know who around us needs to hear that good word, who needs to hear something positive. There's so much negative.
There's plenty of negative
out there. You don't have to search for negative. It's there. It smacks you in the face.
Open social media for like 2 seconds.
You're not kidding.
That's it. Sometimes I turn it off. I'm like, I can't deal. I need something positive.
Well, I'll give you, like, you're rare because you don't want to see negativity. So you completely turn yourself off to it. You're like, I'm done. I don't want to hear this. Right. I don't want to see it. Don't share this information with me. Don't explain that to me.
It saturates my mind.
I want to be informed. I want to know what's happening in the world. I want to follow this.
That's fantastic for you.
And we got, but we're right now going through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You got all kinds of stuff happening politically because the elections are coming up, and that just changes. Like it makes everything upside down because now you have two sides that are so strongly and staunchly on they see their way and they don't see another way, and that's it. And it becomes so angry, it becomes so bitter, it becomes so hostile. There's really no encouragement in there, and I think that's sad. And then, of course, we talk about everything that's happening with race relations and all of that stuff. There's so much negativity. And I just want to remind people, it is so cool for us to sit back, think, and go, let's be good and helpful, as it says here in Ephesians 4:29. Let's allow our words to be an encouragement to those who hear them. You know what? I find that more people are listening to you sometimes than you think. More people are watching you than you think.
Right.
No matter who you are or where you are, right? So take this show and don't even include it in the conversation. So it's not about this show, not about what I do, not about radio, not about you or your platform. Mm-hmm. I think all of us in our own little circle, our own little world, people are always watching and people are always listening more than you know. Whether it's something that you post on social media, is it uplifting?
Right.
Or is it bringing down other people?
I try with social media to post good stuff. I try. Sometimes it's really difficult to, like,
well, you have to ignore
deals. You know, sometimes you have to ignore things, but really, I mean, we all got to try harder with this world because there's so much wrong. And I feel like with the way things are going, we're normalizing wrong now. We're kind of normalizing what's wrong and we're staying away from what's right.
Yeah.
And I feel like doing wrong is what's in style now and normalizing it. No, seriously, though,
I
do feel like that's where things are going. I think if we get comfortable with this idea, the whole wrong and right situation is going to be very murky and weird to kind of differentiate between the two. Hmm. We need to get back to how things are done in the Bible and what the Bible is teaching us. And when wrong is wrong in the Bible, we need to step up and say that is wrong. And when things are right in the Bible, we step up and say, yes, that is right according to the Bible. Not according to so-and-so, just according to the Bible. According to God, this is wrong and this is right. And from there, we will be okay with being encouragers. We will be okay with saying, hey, yes, you can do this. Yes, you know, we can encourage each other through the word. And we can't, like, keep saying, oh, you know, I can't encourage you because this is happening now, or I'm all down and depressed because what's going on.
Yeah. Well, the word is good news.
The word is definitely
the word is good
news,
right?
The word is definitely the best
news. It is good news.
That's why I stick to it.
If you bring good news to someone else, that should be encouraging. Everyone always wants to hear good news, or when you have, you want to hear the good news first, or you want to hear the bad news. We have the ultimate good news.
Good news, yeah.
The Bible is the ultimate good news. You know, we can bring so much sorrow to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit, by the way we live our lives, and we have to ask ourselves sometimes, like, are we pleasing God with our attitude? Are we pleasing God with our responses, with our remarks? I want to relate the encouraging aspect of our personalities to coaches in sports.
Okay.
Because there's always... You have some coaches, and there was an example in Philly recently with Gabe Kapler. Gabe was the ultimate to the point where he got so much criticism for this, but he was the ultimate encourager publicly, and he was privately too. But he would never say anything negative about a player in a news conference to the media. He would never throw anybody under the bus. Now, in Philly, apparently that doesn't play well because fans want you to be critical, or when he comes out after a 15-0 loss and he finds something positive, that's where you got to go, all right, there's really nothing positive about a 15-0 loss. I don't care that so-and-so did this. At some point, but he was the ultimate encourager.
Yeah.
And there are coaches and managers and guys in front office jobs in professional sports who look to uplift their players. And I think players relate more to that. Now, you got today's modern athlete where the 76ers are going through a situation. They just fired their coach, Brett Brown. They're looking to bring in a new coach. Sometimes in conversations with general manager Elton Brand, do you think that players should be treated differently? Do you think that the stars of a team should be treated one way, whereas the 14th and 15th guy on the roster should be treated another way? And he said, you know, that's up to new coach, got to figure that out. Doesn't always work out that way. But you got superstars in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid,
yeah,
who have been used to a coach in Brett Brown who was an encourager.
Yeah, that's how I like that.
He was an encourager. He got fired. Now they're going to bring in a new head coach. How do two players who've been around a guy who has constantly encouraged them, coddled in some ways, not really been tough with them, allowed them to be who they want to be, and now does another guy come in there, and when he tries to coach this team, if he tries to impose more discipline, how are they going to react? How are they going to respond? So it's kind of like when you have, we have kids.
Yeah.
If you're consistently acting one way towards them, can you suddenly all of a sudden be a different kind of mother, be more authoritative, more of a disciplinarian?
I try, but it's just hard. Sometimes when I flip the switch, they kind of look at me like, okay, you're crazy now. Like, what's going on? Let's switch back to cool mom, nice mom, because this is not working out. But you know what? Sometimes you have to find that sweet spot between the two, where you have to be a disciplinary, but at the same time, you're sweet and kind and say you're sorry and all that good stuff. And you know what? Maybe these coaches are not that encouraging in private. You ever thought about that? Maybe. I mean, there is maybe a fine line between, you know, being always an encourager and being an authoritative person, because you have to have the two if you're going to be a good coach or a good parent.
You have to have it. There needs to be a mix of it. Yeah. There needs to be a balance. Like, you need to know, and that's what makes you a good coach. You have to know when to push the buttons.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure in private they do that.
Well, maybe in this case it didn't work out because it doesn't seem like he did that at all. You know, when Brett Brown says to Ben, when he says publicly, go tell Ben, go tell his agent, go tell his family, I want to see him shoot a three-pointer at least once a game, and then he doesn't shoot one for like 20-something games at all. The message didn't get through. The messaging there didn't get through. But there are different kinds of personality. The in-your-face kind of coach, the in-your-face kind of guy, the one who, like some old-time college coaches, and you can't do that anymore, they'll grab a player by the collar and their jersey, and they'll yell at them, and they'll chew them out, and they'll get in their face. Doesn't work anymore. Mm-mm. That certainly doesn't work in the NFL. That certainly doesn't work in the NBA or in Major League Baseball or NHL or any of the professional sports, because guys, once you get to that level, they're not going to want that kind of coach.
Yeah.
But there's a fine line. And I think, though, in our daily lives, there's no fine line for us to worry about. Like, are we an encourager? Mm-hmm. Are we trying to uplift people around us? Or are we constantly trying to bring people down? Yeah. Are we trying to help others? Or are we constantly trying to better ourselves sometimes by making someone else look bad? So I want to encourage everyone listening to this episode to think about being an encourager. To think about the words in Ephesians 4:29. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. When we come back, you'll hear from Freddie Scott II. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. Sign up for our weekly email list, and we will send each episode right to your inbox. We love to read your messages, so keep on sending those, and we appreciate you sharing our episodes and telling anyone and everyone about Faith on the Field. Make sure you also follow us on all our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel and check out some of my recent messages. Our first guest is Freddie Scott II. Freddie played 3 seasons in the NFL as a wide receiver with Atlanta and Indianapolis after playing college ball at Penn State. He is a pastor, executive coach, public speaker, and author. Freddie is the founder and president of Unlock the Champion, a nonprofit organization committed to leadership development and empowering people to understand and maximize their influence by knowing their worth and leading with values. Freddie also serves as a certified NFL transition coach and part of the NFL Player Engagement Ambassador Program. Here is my conversation with Freddie Scott II. First off, I want to talk to you about the Unlock the Champ. And as I was checking it out and reading about, you guys want to really show people how to know their worth and lead with values. And I always talk about everyone's value is equal, right? We live in a society where people sometimes, we idolize celebrities and it's like you elevate someone over someone else. And I feel like we're all created equal in God's eyes, man. And it doesn't matter what my zip code is. Doesn't matter what my bank account is. It doesn't matter how much money I make, how much fame or glory. We're all equal. We all have value. And it's unfortunate sometimes because we don't know how to, in a world where you're judged by social media sometimes and all that stuff. So how do you do that? How do you get that message across to people?
Well, it goes back to just basic fundamentals. That I truly believe that everyone's voice is big in someone's ears. Now, who those individuals are, sometimes we're not aware of, but if you take a moment and think back on your life, I guarantee that there are people that you were looking up to, that respected you, or that you respected, that inspired you, that they may not have known that you were watching them that way. Mm. It could have been a teacher, a coach, a family member, an aunt, an uncle, a pastor, someone that you didn't go to them and say, you know what? I love the things that you're doing in your life, and I'm inspired by that, and I want you to speak into me. You never had that conversation. But yet and still, there are certain things that we sell. Man, look at how he loves his wife. Mm. Man, I want my family to look like that one day. Man, I would love to have a career like that.
Right.
You realize that the opportunity to influence people is there for everyone. The issue is sometimes we don't realize the true impact that we have on others because here's another truth. Other people are making decisions about what's potential in their life based upon the perception of what they see in yours. And so the more they see you walking out your passion and your gifts and what you're called to do, the more they're inspired to seek out their own.
Wow, that is powerful. And now you have, in addition to what you're doing with Unlock the Champ, you've partnered with Eric Hipple and the guys at After the Impact. Tell me about the work that you guys are doing there and how much people can benefit from that.
Yeah, it's been life-changing when you think about the work that we've been able to do. So we've been working within the NFL and NFL player engagement's place to be able to support athletes transitioning into the NFL, supporting their life and with programs and resources while they're a player, and then helping them create a game plan for what life will look like after their career is over. So we've been working from a bookend approach, I have, in helping players and help coaching them through that process. Well, what we found in our partnership with After the Impact is that the same issues that many professional athletes go through are the same issues in of transition that our military veterans experience.
Yeah.
You're one of the highest performing people. You're one of the best in the world at what you do. You wear a uniform, and then all of a sudden you can't wear that uniform anymore. And so we found that not only do military veterans go through similar issues, business executives as well. You're a high performer that have a lot of demands that you've been able to perform at a very high level, but then life happens.
Yes.
And so now by bringing those three areas together, an athlete, the military veteran, and the business professional, we've been able to now take all those scales and masks off, and people can truly see that, hey, I get it. I know it's hard, and here's some ways to help.
Now, you're also involved with the NFL player engagement and the work that they do with former players to let them know that there's still an outlet for them, there's still help for them. How often do you get to just have those conversations with the former players? And I know it's a difficult transition when you're used to that paycheck, and then now you're out in the real world.
It is, extremely difficult. Some are more prepared than others, but as a whole, typically the problem is you never know when transition is going to happen.
Yeah.
You don't know that that's going to be your last play and you're going to have a knee injury or a hamstring. You don't know that your coach is going to get fired and how they're going to say turn in your playbook. You just don't have any control on when it ends, and I think that's what makes it so difficult to deal with. And so through the NFL, every year we have what's called a Bridge to Success program. And through that program, we bring in guys that have just recently transitioned between a year, 2 years, maybe even more. And we have not only just great teaching sessions, but also expose them to all the programs and resources available to them. And then at that time, we also help them create their own six-month action plan. Right. So that way you can get unstuck.
Wow.
We're going to celebrate your past. We're going to identify where you are. We're going to make a plan for the future.
Now, as a guy who's a man of faith, as a pastor, I know that Christ is at the center of everything that you do. Yeah. Do you work that into the conversation with some of these guys in every, whether it's you're working with Unlock the Champ, whether it's After the Impact, whether it's NFL Player Engage, do you find an opportunity to look for that crack in the door and try and introduce them to?
Those cracks are always there. I think the most precious opportunity is just to be present with someone. The Bible says that God is a very present help in a time of need.
Yeah.
And so I think what we've been able to do is simply just be present. I'm not forcing myself or forcing my belief on anyone. I'm just there.
Right.
I've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. That means I'm supposed to listen twice as much that I talk. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there just to listen, to connect, to let you know that you're not alone. And then typically through that process, people will open up and they'll ask for prayer or they'll ask for counsel. Mm. They will ask for advice. They will seek out the things that can help them. And then that's what creates the opportunity to be able to say, hey, this is what's worked for me, and I know it'll work for you as well.
Now, you played a few years in the NFL. What was your path to getting to this point in your life? What was your transition like? Did you have any difficulty? Did you have to turn to anyone to help you, to guide you through, to get to where you are now, being a leader for other men?
Well, it's interesting. At the time, I had no idea what was really going on, but I actually went through depression. I didn't know I was depressed until I went through my depression certification training. They said, here are the signs of depression. And
that?
I said, ooh, isolation. Yes. Ooh, yeah, I did that too. Ooh, yeah. And literally, it was, I didn't realize it at the time. And I think that's the biggest problem. I went through depression and didn't know that I was actually depressed. Now, it wasn't severe, but still on the spectrum, by definition, that's exactly what it was. And so the biggest thing that helped me is I had a chance to serve at a ministry in Nashville called Faith Life Church. My father-in-law pastors a church there.
Wow.
And so I served as his assistant pastor, a deacon, served in youth ministry as the youth pastor. And what literally got me out of my depression was the opportunity to serve others. I knew that I couldn't stay home and play video games.
Amen.
Because those kids needed me. And so if it wasn't for the opportunity to speak into the lives of those kids,
right,
and get me to get outside of myself and outside of my feelings to realize that my voice is big in their ears, that they needed encouragement, that's when I started to realize that, you know what, there's more in me than just playing football. That I have more gifts, talents, and ability than just what I could do in running on a field. In fact, those other gifts have a whole lot more staying power and a whole lot more impact than just a 60-minute game and running around on a field.
Truth. Well, Freddie, I appreciate you joining me here. Thank you so much for your time, man. Wish you a ton of blessings.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was former NFL player Freddie Scott II. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. Our next guest is David Oliver. He is the CEO at Oliver Heating and Cooling. David is a great guy with a heart for Christ. Here is my conversation with David Oliver. David, the idea for Oliver Heating and Cooling started out at a church meeting about 50 years ago with your dad, Joe Oliver, a man of strong faith and wisdom, and he had this unique sense of integrity and honesty. Tell us how all of this came together and how he launched the company.
Well, my dad worked for Boeing. He was an engineer, and things started winding down in the Vietnam War. They were not ordering as many helicopters, and they laid off 10,000 people at Boeing, and he was one of those that was laid off. And at the time, he had a real strong faith, and he was attending a church prayer meeting. When he went to the meeting, they asked, "Hey, does anybody need prayers for anything?" And he rose his hand and he said, "Hey, I have six kids and a wife, and I just lost my job." They laid hands on him, and through prayer, one of the members who was praying with him was in the heating and air conditioning business and said, "Hey, why don't you start your own business? I can help you get started." And this guy had a used truck, and my dad and my mom prayed that night. And the next day, Oliver was started.
That's amazing. Well, to have a business last, it's not easy. And to have it continue for 50 years or so is an incredible testament to what he did and how he was able to really get it started. And you can really see God's hand in it from the moment, from that prayer meeting, right? And you guys, you have a logo, which is the white dove, and that's the symbol really for the Holy Spirit. What is the significance to you, and what was the significance for him of using the white dove as the logo?
From the beginning, he knew that this company was started in faith. It was started at a prayer meeting. It was God's intervention. He knew that the only way to survive was with the strength of the Holy Spirit, and the dove just came naturally to him when he thought of, you know, a symbol or a logo. And the actual dove itself has gone through many changes in these 50 years.
Wow.
Over the years, we never forgot our humble beginnings, knowing that, hey, it was started at this through prayer, and that the Holy Spirit keeps us going, that strength.
When did you personally join the company and take over and get involved and eventually become the CEO, David?
Well, it's quite a winding road, as they say. I grew up in the business, and I remember in the early days, helping to answer the phone sometimes if my dad was out and my mom was busy with one of us six kids. We sometimes all of us had to pitch in to help answer the phone and take a message. But when I graduated from high school, my intent was never to work, full time for the company. But my dad made me an offer. I was enrolled at Penn State, and my dad needed somebody full time at Oliver, and I decided to change paths and helped him out in the office. And then I worked, that was, I guess, around late 70s when I started full-time with him. My route changed a little bit after the company started growing. He said, "Hey, I've got to hire somebody else because you don't have the skills, David, that you need to, that I need, like accounting-wise and management-wise." So he hired somebody over me. Okay. And the funny thing was, he was always looking for advisors. Like in the Bible, it says there's strength in many advisors.
Yeah.
And one of these advisors, consultants that he brought in, he had them sit down with me. And this guy said, "Hey, well, what do you want to do with your life?" And I said, "Well, I'm not 100% sure, but..." And he threw the idea and put the idea in my head to go back to school. And I did that. I was actually gone from Oliver for a number of years. Went back to school, got a degree, and worked a couple different jobs. And then the timing was right that the Lord said, "Hey, it's time to time to go back to Oliver. And one thing led to another, and I've been back now. It seems like I never left, but I've been back now for close to 25 years now. I'm starting to feel like I never left. So, but over those years I've been back, when I did come back, I did all types of things, from working in the field. I worked in the accounting office, got my face cut with sheet metal.
Wow.
And really worked in hot attics, and then I was out doing sales for a number of years.
Wow.
Getting customers involved with new heaters and air conditioners, and then little by little just learned all the ins and outs of the business from the ground up. And most recently, our existing CEO decided to step back. And again, God had a different plan, and I hadn't planned to step into that role, but because he stepped away from the role, it was just the opportunity was there, and there was a lot of confirmation, and God's been helping me throughout.
That's awesome. Wonderful story. Obviously, you grew up in the church, your dad, man of strong faith, your family background. But was there a point when your faith became your own and not what was handed to you from your father, your family, what they believed in? And you really started to develop that relationship with the Lord on your own, and you understood what that meant and the significance of it.
Yes, yes. My mom and dad, always gave us a good solid foundation, and I grew up in the Catholic Church. We went to school and Sunday school every Sunday. I remember even when I was a kid, there was a huge snowstorm back in the 60s, and we got the toboggan out, and my dad pulled us down to church. It was probably about between 1 and 2 miles away, and we made it to church, even in a snowstorm.
Wow.
But that's my foundation. When my dad, we talked about the prayer group, and my dad actually was very involved with the Catholic charismatic prayer groups back in the day. I remember the prayer meeting was on Monday night, and depending on what was going on, sometimes we'd be dragged down to the church on Monday night. We had to go on Sunday, and then Monday night was the prayer group, and sometimes we have to go Monday too to help out, whether it was with chairs, and my mom was involved with the music. And but it was one of those things where we had to go. Back in the early 80s, there was a point in my life I had a bad reaction to a prescription, and ended up in the hospital. And when I got out and got well physically, I just, for some reason, I just ended up in a deep depression. It took a while to get out of that. At one point in my life, I said, "Hey, where am I going?" I had been working, working at the company, and also, again, going to church, going to the prayer meeting to satisfy my parents. But at this point in my life, when it was kind of a little bit of a shock, because there was a time when I was sitting in the hospital, not knowing what was going on. Am I going to get out of the hospital or not? But yeah. one Monday night, it just hit me. I just decided on my own, drove down to the prayer group on my own. It was for the first time I wasn't asked, urged, dragged down. It was my decision. And I went down, and we had that time where people pray individually, like my dad had when he started the company. The same type of thing happened with me. And I knew at that time it was time to give my life to God. Again, my decision. Nobody dragged me. Came to that realization, and that I am a sinner. And I knew all the words, but this was when I made the decision and confirming, hey, Jesus died for me, and I'm going to give my life to him and just ask Jesus to come into my heart and to be my strength and my guide for the rest of my life. My life hasn't been the same since.
When you make that decision, I tell people all the time, it's the best decision you can make in your life. And sometimes it doesn't mean instantly your life is going to be simple and all your troubles are going to go away, but it means that you recognize and realize that through the ups and through the downs, God will be with you. You have that kind of protection, because he's there. He's there to guide you through the storm, and he's there to lead you through it. I'm sure throughout the journey as a business owner, as a CEO, you guys have highs, you have lows. We've gone through a global pandemic now for going on 4 months, and it's got to be sometimes frustrating and sometimes difficult. How do you lean on your faith when things are going really well and allow yourself not to get too caught up in your own successes, and then also rely on your faith when things are struggling to know that, hey, there's something better through this that I'm going to learn and we're going to get through it?
Yeah, it's that, you know, I keep going back to my dad, where he had the example of, you know, those tough times of, you know, starting the business and everything, that he always went back to his faith, and we pray together as a family. We've done that as a company, and especially, you know, through good times and through this pandemic, God's been helping us get through every day. We've been blessed through it. You know, we put down our goals and our monetary goals. Funny, because I've gone back and looked at some of the past goals that we set out, and the monetary for my dad, and even for the company going forward, the bottom line was never the bottom line. It wasn't the main thing that we ever, you know, talked about. It was always, hey, honoring God and all we do. These are some of the things of our mission, treating others how we want to be treated. Those are things that are instilled in us. And if we do that, the money will follow. You know, God calls us as a company to serve. And if we just take care of our customers, he's going to take care of us. When there's good times, we have to, you know, prepare for the bad times, because we know that it's not always going to be good times. This pandemic really, it set us back a little bit, but, you know, we've been coming back strong, and, you know, God's really been blessing us through it. And we've hired, you know, just about everybody back at this point.
That's great.
Since it started. So it's been good.
Well, David, I've talked about getting a gas furnace, modulating gas furnace from you guys last winter, and it was awesome, and it heated our home. We say significant savings. I tell people all the time, significant savings on our heat, on our gas bill from the previous year, approximately like $80 to $100 a month over the course of the entire winter. And we really appreciated working with you guys and see the integrity and the honesty in your company. I would like to tell everyone, OliverHeatCool.com. They can go there. They can check out the company. It's not just heating and air conditioning, but electrical, plumbing. So it is. People could turn to Oliver for so many different things. And the number 1-877-324-0394. And if there's anything you'd like to add about the company, go ahead.
You know, you had mentioned, hey, what gets us through the good times and the bad? One of the things that we do at Oliver is we have a prayer before every meeting. You know, whether it's with our technicians or it's a management meeting, we remember how the company was started, and we give thanks to God and ask him for strength and guidance. And we do that before every meeting at Oliver, and that's what keeps us grounded and keeps us close to God, and knowing that he's got our back and that we're on the right track. That's something that we've been doing since the beginning. We just carry that tradition on.
I think that's a wonderful tradition and great advice for anyone in business and also not in business, whether you're at home, whether you're about prayer. Is just so important to be able to focus on the Lord, to shift your eyes off of the distractions around you and focus on the Lord and ask for his help, for his guidance, for his direction each and every day and every step and every decision we make. David, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Faith on the Field Show. Really appreciate it and love what you guys stand for. Thank you.
Thanks again, Rob.
Thank you, David Oliver. Thank you to Freddie Scott II for joining us this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for all of his great work. Big thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman for all of his excellent work with our website and podcast. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.